Even after 4 days on the train, Wu Ka Liang marveled at how fast it zipped around the smooth rails. Outside the windows, the snowy American prairie sped by, flat and white as a big silk quilt. And occasionally craggy trees whizzed past like a flock of swallows. Brown lumps in the distance, he had learned, were herds of what appeared to be wild water buffalo, but bulkier and hairier. Thick black smoke from the engine poured back over the passenger car, far darker than the wisps of his mother's cooking fire. Metal wheels clacked in rhythm, louder and more insistent than banging cymbals, but you couldn't cover your ears every minute for the 7 days it would take to cross this huge continent. Even though the windows were shut tight against winter winds, all the passengers stayed bundled up in layers of clothing. Liang's nose wrinkled from the smell of burning metal, unwashed bodies, and the pungent sharpness of a hot black drink that definitely was not tea. Next to him, elder brother was sleeping again. How could anyone stay still for so long? Liang wished he could be exploring the locomotive, figuring out what made this iron horse gallop. One time during a mail stop, he had climbed up onto the locomotive, where he examined the levers and valves and gauges, guessing how they worked. The engineer greeted him with a friendly smile half hidden by a bushy red beard, and then tugged on a small bar near the roof of the cab. The whistle blew. As if responding to a warning signal, elder brother had come rushing in and dragged Liang back to their car. "You can't run around like that," elder brother had said. "Don't you ever think first before you run off? What if I lost you? From now on, just behave, you hear?" Liang had nodded. He didn't want to get lost, but he hated behaving. Besides, he was raring to learn everything he could about trains and about this new railroad that ran all the way across America. It was one of the wonders of the world. About 9,000 lay from coast to coast. Unbelievable. That's the opening of The Forbidden Temptation of Baseball by Dory Jones Yang. And it gets even more riveting as a train robbery happens somewhere on the high, snowy plains very early in our first chapter. Well, our story throws a spotlight on a little-remembered corner of American history. But while it may be a corner of American history, our opening also shines a light on a big event in the lives of the boys and men from Imperial China who took part in this grand transcontinental experiment, making it as well a not-so-important event for the late Chinese Empire. The story, our two protagonists, are part of a plan put into motion by the Chinese emperor, who has a well-educated group of about 120 boys move from their villages in southern China to Suffield, Connecticut in the 1870s. They were sent by the imperial government of China as part of a grand experiment, the Chinese Educational Mission. Their task is to learn English, complete college degrees, and return home to help transform China into a strong, modern country. I find the story all the more readable as it points out the family dynamics of by featuring both a younger brother, Leon, the key character in our story, and his older brother, Carson, allowing our author to show the cultural dynamics of late 19th century Chinese society more easily than not. And while both brothers are surprised by American society's odd differences from their own Chinese experience, for instance, the relatively socially progressive view of women in the late 19th century. But it is the older brother, nicknamed Carson, who increasingly withdraws into himself, unsure and discomforted by the America he discovers. Younger brother Leon, for whatever reason, we can posit fictional as well as social psychological reasons, proves to be a much more open mind to all the middle American society in which the brothers have been placed, perhaps most ironically shown by his embrace of the strange new American sport of baseball, a pastime that takes him far from his older brother's expectation that both of them would continue to live their lives in America as they did in China, as young scholars. Noses in their books 24/7, presenting us with an ongoing brother-to-brother conflict, as Leon was expected by the elder Carson to always obey his elder brother, because that was the Chinese way, and not so unlike the American way in many families, I think, even today. While the younger Leon may be the more sympathetic characters to many readers, author Dory Jones Yang wisely keeps both boys' stories part of the narrative. Far from home, the ocean voyage from China to America's west coast alone took them almost a month, and it was followed by that long, if fascinating, train ride literally across the continental U.S., so that both Leon and Carson find themselves bedazzled and confused by the cultural immersion they find themselves in. Both were expected to keep up their studies in Chinese as well as English, so they would be able to communicate their college educations to their Chinese brethren when they got home. Even more anxiety-producing, Leon and Carson were expected to continually demonstrate their loyalty to the emperor by wearing a long braid, the queue, opening them up to daily taunts and discrimination from Americans who just didn't understand what those Chinese guys were wearing their hair in that fashion for. It is Leon, as he becomes known to his American family and friends, who tells our story through his 11-year-old boy's eyes, a writing technique that makes the story more personal than it would have been told third person, and it allows the author to talk about the concerns, the excitements, the surprises, and the ideas that fit an 11-year-old perspective. Sometimes wise, sometimes fearful or questioning, often surprised. A different kind of delight and fun for readers of many ages. And, of course, as the title hints, The Forbidden Temptation of Baseball, this is the story of baseball in its early formative years of the 1870s. We may be surprised, way ahead of the curve in 2018, to read that rural boys were playing baseball in a Massachusetts school field with snow on the ground. And some of the rules that Yang lays out for us seem a bit strange to our eyes and our memories, but that, of course, is part of the fun of a history-infused novel like The Forbidden Temptation of Baseball. We get to discover real differences between then and now and real similarities. We're encouraged to wrap our minds around how those differences may have made folks from so long ago see the world differently from us, and somehow much the same as well. The book is written with younger readers in mind, so there's no harsh violence, there's no overt sexuality, there's nothing that's going to set off panic alarms in many folks. But though it is written as accessible for children, the story, the characters, will be appreciated by readers of many ages. The story wraps up with additional reading worth noting. There's more than just the novel here. There are a few photos from the 1870s that show us a number of young boys and young men who were sent to America from China to learn those American ways and receive an American education with the goal of modernizing late 19th century China. And these are actual posed photos of the young men from that period. There's an epilogue that discusses what was most likely the later childhood, young adult years of both Leon and Carson, and a couple of pages of fun facts to give readers a bit more information about this fascinating and still little-known period in Chinese and American social history. I want to wrap up by reading from the end of the story, and even though the end of the story presents us with the ultimate baseball game between the two rival towns in which the boys find themselves living, I won't give away the actual ending of the baseball game, but I think this will still give you a real good idea of how Leon, in particular, came to adapt to America back in the 1870s and how the folks in his small western Massachusetts town came to adapt to his ways as well. The coach told the team to huddle, so they gathered in a circle, arms tossed over one another's shoulders, backs soaked in perspiration from the merciless sun. "You played hard and well," the coach said. "All of you. I'm proud of you." With Johnny's arm on one of his shoulders and Charlie's on the other, Leon melted into the warmth of his team. He belonged. The huddle broke up, and the boys turned to their families. Mr. Swan was standing behind Leon, who glanced up at his face, expecting to see something. What he saw was joy. "Well done, my son. Good game," Mr. Swan said. He had called Leon my son. The boy gazed up at him in amazement. "My Chinese son," Mr. Swan said with a smile. That was even better. Now Leon knew that not only was he accepted into the Swan family, but they valued him for who he was. Mr. Swan smoothed down some of Leon's hair, which was escaping from his queue, then put a fatherly hand gently behind Leon's neck as they turned to walk together toward Julia and Charlotte. After the game, all the Suffield boys, with their families, crowded into Hugh Fun's house, where Thomas's mother had made a big cake for them covered in chocolate icing. Johnny refused to eat at first, until Miss Julia brought him a piece. Leon ate a big piece, savoring the sweetness that had once seemed too overpowering. Around him, the boys were laughing and talking in English. Leon understood every word. Well, nearly. You would never know such change could happen in so few months. They were a team, already planning for the next season. The Forbidden Temptation of Baseball is a fascinating and fun look at a grand experiment by the Chinese emperor back in the 1870s to send a bunch of young boys and young men to America to learn American ways, not necessarily baseball, come back to China, modernize that nation, seen through the eyes of 11-year-old Leon. It's a fascinating, fun read. It's available at all of our fine local public libraries, including, of course, the West Lafayette Public Library.